Welcome to the Recovery Radio Show of October 26, 2023, and featuring James Boyd, myself, John Case, and our special guest, Susan Palish. And we're publishing on a regular show here, but it's a discussion of a project to record the testimonies of people affected with mental illness of one kind or another that in their process of recovery ran into problems not dissimilar from addiction and some other issues, or imprisonment where you are met with a stigma. So welcome to our show today.
And that it impacts all kinds, you know, lots of things within your life. So that is the impetus for this. And I submitted a proposal to Rotary Club of Shepherdstown, which included the fact that to reduce stigma that we tell our stories. Now, there are no guidelines for this. They can be interviews. It can be statements that are, you know, less than a minute that we can share with other, you know, other media areas. You know, it really is fluid, let's put it that way, right now. And together we can define how this works. And you might be able to suggest other people to me to, you know, help with this committee, because it's all new for them too. Does that make sense?
Yes. How many people do you have lined up so far? And can you just give me an example of, without going too deep into it, of one or more of the stories that might be told? Well, so we would.
I have a vet, a very close friend who was a vet that kind of went off the grid through PTSD and what happened with him. I have bipolar disorder. Bipolar 2, and it's called soft bipolar. And so I would be discussing that. I have another woman who has some significant depression and was so depressed she was looking at suicide, and certainly has come back very nicely. But it's those kind of stories. I have six people that have said they would do it. I have a woman who works actually in a local physician's office that does dermatology work and Botox and things like that. And she became anorexic. She just stopped eating for no reason. And what happened with her story, and she's willing to talk about it. So there's just a lot of various individuals. There's a woman who was, she was hospitalized and she thought she had a reaction to mold. And here it was a depressive disorder. So, you know, there's so many different things. Does that give you an idea?
Yes. I think it's going to be hard to get under, let me just say, 5 minutes.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because the stories of the people, we might record 15 minutes. Okay. But 5 minutes is maybe enough to get a story told, okay?
Okay.
Otherwise, it might not be any more than a few more sentences than the two you just told, okay?
Okay.
Which would
be in the
30-second minute range kind of thing, right? You know?
Okay.
But if someone's going to set any context at all, and either emotional or personal or family or whatever, probably going to take, you know, a little more time. But I think the idea of boiling it down to under 5 minutes, especially if you want to circulate it in other media, is.
I have an idea. I have a suggestion for.
Go ahead.
To reach out to some of the resources. So there was a lady that she did a documentary, and actually she spoke at Shepherd University one time. It's called Overdose. And she did the documentary about the pill farms and a lot of things that go with it. My point is, she is very experienced and she's a good volunteer.
Good. Well, if you could,
I'd like to bring her around the table. You know, maybe
I'd love that.
She did the documentary. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's called Overdose.
I'm not, and I need more people and individuals with different backgrounds into this because it's like.
But she has the technology experience. She knows, and it's with John and because.
You're talking about Bree.
Bree was in it, but I'm talking about Mary Sue.
Mary Sue, that's right. That's right.
Mary Sue Connell. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's a conversation that can be had about this particular project.
So, Sue, what about if we were going to have this conversation? I mean, what is the best environment? I mean, do you think if we met in person with a microphone and recorder, do that? We could meet over here at what? I have to do a little bit of cleanup since the pandemic, but I got plenty of room over here. If you want to come over here and we can do the interview here. I got enough headsets and microphones to make it work here too. But we can. I think James and I have done this on the road before too. We did it up in the park a couple times. You know,
in Martinsburg. Yeah, right. Talking well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know, it's also possible to do that if you wanted folks to meet in small group rather than just one on one.
Yeah,
I think that would work.
You know, I think a small group would work. Everybody who has said that they would like to tell their story doesn't mind hearing other people's and doesn't mind sharing in public. I mean, the idea behind this is to, it's a little bit, I shouldn't say, it's not the end result of, you know, somebody is going to commit suicide right now. It's the building up to that. And helping to educate individuals that there is information that they need to know about themselves or that they can know about themselves so that if you get to the point of suicide, you understand why, or that you would never get to that point.
Yeah,
or
dysregulated.
Yeah. I mean it's more root causes of these issues and overdosing too and drug abuse and the whole thing, there's an awful lot of mental health issues that are behind the actual trying to self-medicate and trying to stop the pain. So, you know, I'll do whatever you want to do. And I'm sure that the people that I've talked to will too.
Why don't we start out with, hey, James, are you coming down to this area anytime soon?
I can plan around it. So, you know,
well, what if we did something like this? What if we tried to get a small group, no more than three, but a couple or three, no more than three of your people. And then we had, we sat around someplace with a decent sized table, pretty comfortable for people. And basically we passed the microphone around. Okay. And people do their own soliloquy and if they need a little bit of urging, then James or you or somebody, you know, can urge them on, you know, like sometimes people have a trouble just, you know, soliloquizing. Other people like me just talk all day long. Okay. But,
I love you.
You know, so, anyway, that might be a good environment and, then we could record it and edit it, and we might get a couple of recordable testimonies like out of that discussion. And that, and then also it would give us a chance to decide you know, after we did it once and we listened to it, whether we decide whether we liked it or we wanted to do. We'd have something to criticize or something to think, something to work with, and then see how we wanted to go forward with the project from there. And so, really, I probably best. I'm guessing from James is working. You work mostly weekdays, James. So maybe if we did it on a weekend, like on a Saturday someplace, if you had a good place. I guess we could do it. We could do it here, actually. If you can think of a better place down in Shepherdstown, someplace that might be a little bit easier to find, we could do that. But if you can't, we can do it here.
Well, I have a big round table in my house.
Right. Well, you have, and your house is you've got plenty of spots too, so we can.
So I could. I mean, if I have can get six people around a table, and I've got a big round table.
I can bring equipment over to do the recording. That's not a problem. Okay.
Okay. And this can be, I appreciate this so much. I mean, I think it's going to help so many people. I really do.
It's a great thing
this
to
could
try.
Be a trial.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really would probably depend on, we're headed into the holidays if we get too far into November. So, I don't know what James's schedule is, but I'm not traveling through Thanksgiving. Okay, so
okay.
You know, we just did our traveling, and I don't think Carol wants to go anywhere again for a while. So, so we're in town. Obviously, we're gonna have a lot of guests arriving around Christmas, so that would be.
Okay. Right. Well, why don't you pick the days that works with you guys, and I'll rally my troops,
okay.
And then maybe we can meet here. We could all meet here if that's okay with you.
I
and
think
then
that'd
we
be
could,
sure.
My proposal goes from November to July 1st. We have November through July 1st to. Really get this going and off on the air and making
gotcha.
A difference and reaching out to other people. And, you know, I think it's going to really go once it starts.
Okay. So let's, James, you don't have your calendar in front of you. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I don't have my calendar in front of me.
James looks like he needs to visit my son, my NASA Goddard son in
space program.
In
where?
Space there.
Yeah, he's got the planet behind him there, you know.
Yeah. And those
broadcasting
headphones.
From the other side of the moon.
Where is John? Hey, I'm I work at a place that I come in contact with that every day, different issues. We call it Hertz Habits and Hangups.
Okay.
Hertz Habits and Hangups. And the environment that I work in, coupled with opioid addiction and all of the above drugs that people use, they come in full circle. We have probably 150 people on a good day.
Okay,
but I can tell you that the mental illness,
you
see it develop right before you, you know, and I'm trauma sensitive, trauma informed, and I know the language about the parasympathetic nervous system and how it gets regulated and how the vagus nerve and how it reacts to the chemicals and the dependency. What is dependency? What is addiction? What's the difference in it? And people just want to be made to relax and to trust.
Yes.
As they share their challenges.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, thank you for doing what you're doing, James. And there's a lot that I need to learn for sure. But okay, great. I'd like to spend some time with you too, just alone.
So
yeah.
James,
no, with John.
Let's work out a time, James, and we can do that offline. We can do that offline. And I'll get back to you about that. I got to go pick up Carol. I'm gonna let you can talk to James here. He's got control of the program here. So
yeah.
Anyway,
Hi,
see,
Dave.
I've been talking to policy. And she was such a friend.
I'll be back
so
in about 20 minutes.
She's still doing that work. So, because the last time we talked was in Shepherdstown. That's
yes. Right. Yes. I mean,
at the Veterans Day event.
Pardon me?
Was it at Veterans Day?
You know, I can't remember, James. I mean, that's another thing. I can't remember because my anxiety was such, and they put me on a medication that just heightened the anxiety. So it took off, it shaved off the top of my head that remembers things. So, you know, I need to be cued on that. But yes, I remember talking with you, but I don't remember when. But yes, I'm glad you're doing this. This is wonderful.
Yes, it's going to be great. We've come a long way in this country, but we haven't come nearly as far as we should.
I know.
And all of the explanations, because I think that if people get more educated about what's going on with them, with their bodies, with their
right.
work, to be able to access agency within your body and to be able to honor the things and, I mean, the things that help you along, like your feet and your arms and your hands.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And, you know, and to acknowledge these things. So I can see where it's really needed.
Yep. Well, my parents knew the Carters very well. My dad was a fisherman, and my dad knew Jimmy Carter very well. And so we got a chance to spend time with the Carters a lot. And Rosalind Carter had mental health and stigma as what she did in the White House in the 80s. And it's just now coming to the point where people can say out loud, yes, this is what I have. And this is how, you know, and if I offend you because of this, I'm triggered or what, you know, you can explain that. And so there's not, the shame is being addressed. Let's put it that way. But I'm so glad you're doing this.
Yeah, my life is this experience. So
yeah, isn't that
bad? Yeah, and using what I've got.
Yep.
So where I work now, and I was hoping that my boss would like for me to call him my boss. He likes me to call him my comrade.
Yeah.
He's much younger than I am, but he asks me questions. I need to write to me about
what?
With the opioid addiction. And
right.
But back to you, Sue, this is the Rotary Club. How's that working out for you?
The what?
Rotary. You're in the Rotary, right?
Right. How's it working out for me? It's been challenging a little bit. I can say that I'm very grateful because I'm showing up. And for the longest time, I couldn't show up. And I don't know how to explain that other than the fact that if it was at 6:30, I'd show up at 7:30. It was a challenge. It's starting to, I was in Rotary, well, since the 80s, and I, with United Way, I was always with the Rotary Club. And, but now, it's been a little bit challenging, but I'm happy that I'm there. And it's good, for them too.
I'm sorry. And go back for a second. You say about showing up.
Yes.
Some people develop an affinity to things. And people have an affinity to something, right?
Right.
Father put his young son in the hospital for coming in hurt. He told his son not to be brother and sister in his foot race.
I'm going to move out for my dog. So I don't want the barking. So what did you say?
I said when his son came in first, the father put his son in the hospital and beat him so bad. So the little boy grew up, the moral of the story is that he developed an affinity to coming in first. So you said, you said if something was at 6, I'd show up at 7, and it had become a problem.
Right.
So maybe you have some sort of an affinity to something. I don't know what it is, but you know, I would look at that word, see how it applies.
I will have to look at it, but I'm over that at this point. It's
okay.
Yeah, it's initially. Now for the past several years, past 2 years, I guess, I've been at the right place at the right time and doing the right thing. But initially, I think after the pandemic, and because I had a hip replacement, I was in a car accident that took out my hip. So I had a couple years of a little bit of excitement, and I didn't realize the impact that that had. But Rotary has been very helpful for that. Mm-hmm. Other people in Rotary, some of the people in Rotary just don't understand. So that has been problematic, but I think it's all good.
Is that the stigma that happened?
Yes, yes. There definitely was stigma. I was to be the chair of the evening Rotary Club, and a couple members, younger members, contacted me just a few days before I was to start, and I had everything in order. And they determined that that they didn't like, they wanted me to do something different, and it triggered me. It really triggered me, and I told them that it was somewhat abusive because they bullied me and wouldn't let me talk. So that was a big issue because they didn't understand that. But you know, I just stayed with them, and I'm continuing on because I think they need to learn. And I'm not angry. Yeah, I'm just not angry. I'm just like, okay, I own my trigger, and they need to learn. So, you know, that's the best we can do.
Good for you. I'm the member of the Martinsburg Rotary.
Are you a member?
Yeah, I'm not anymore.
Okay, but you were, James.
Yeah, I was. Oh, I am a Rotarian. I got my flag and all of that.
Okay.
I moved away.
Where are you living now?
In New Jersey, Newark.
Oh, okay. Know it well.
Yep. You know Newark?
Yes, I do. Yep. Yep. Well, you're in a place where they need you, that's for sure.
And I need them.
That's nice.
I see them every day, and the people, the population that I work with. And I'm learning so much because I'm learning a lot of self-care. Self-care,
yes.
Self-aware, and how to hack into my nervous system and kind of make sure that everything is sort of regulated. Not just collaboration that's going on in my body between
right.
My parts.
Yes, I understand. I'm just now understanding that because meditation. I was meditating. And I never did that before. And that's how I understood that I could come back to somebody who I used to be before, but then accept the fact that, you know, my family is a cesspool of genetic bipolar. So, but, you know, the vagus nerve, what you were talking about, and, you
being
know.
Being anchored in vagus, being anchored in the polyvagal.
Wow.
That. Yeah, it's like the vagus nerve and the thing's rocking back and forth, but you're anchored. You're grounded, stable, and safe.
Wow. See, that's what I need to learn. Maybe you can send me some information about that because that'll be great.
Where I learned it, actually, ironically enough, is from a doctor who lives right in Shepherdstown. She has an office in Shepherdstown as we speak, Dr. Christina McTierney.
Okay, I don't know. Christine?
McTunis, yeah. Her office is right down down all the way to the end of, I think it's Washington Street.
Okay.
But she talks about mindfulness, mind fitness training.
Okay. Mindfulness and mind fitness training. I'll have to look at that. Okay. It's wonderful. I have a guy who helps me with headaches, and he's a masseuse, and he's talked so much about the vagus nerve and the impact of, mind-body therapy, without a doubt. And I'm starting to really understand that. And it's wonderful to be learning and growing at age 72. I mean, I love it.
Well, we basically the same age. When will you be 73?
I'll be 73 April 3rd, 1924, or 2024.
Mine is April the 9th.
Okay. Two Aries. There you go.
So those are the things that you like to spread around. The dopamine.
Yes.
Spread the dopamine around.
Right.
Endorphins get activated. You bring that sort of energy into the interview.
Right. Yes, that's exactly it. Yes, the energy and the endorphins and, increasing the serotonin through exercise and,
my sister was on, my oldest sister, she lives up here. She was on just before you came on talking to us. I never got a chance to talk to her. She made a statement about a chemical imbalance. So that's good, because we realize that there are chemicals in the body. We know that.
Yeah.
So when they become unbalanced, what is it that they're doing? The unbalancing. And so we speak in terms of metaphors.
Right.
Want to look at the body and how it rocks back and forth if there's an imbalance. So if something that is an imbalance, if you balance yourself on, say, for instance, a sliding board, and you lift.
Ooh, good.
And back and forth. Right. And so the imbalance starts to tip.
Yeah. Good, yeah. Good. Good information. Yes. Well, that's very true. And there's chemical imbalances. I found that through testing, I can't metabolize vitamin B12 mm-hmm. or any of the vitamin Bs. And my body just does not metabolize it. So I have to have shots, injections, folate. I don't have folate in my body, and that can lead to all kinds of birth defects in children, but I have to, take folate. So there's so many, not only chemical imbalances, but nutritional imbalances that, put your body off. So we're just learning so much.
Learning so much, and the hardwiring part. I love to go deeper than that.
Yeah.
epigenetics, I mean, it's such a word. When I looked at and started exploring and opening that up, some people say to other people, "Oh, you just like your father." And some of that is true, because you inherit a lot of things. The hard wire starts before you even born. And so people need to know where they come from and what happened, what caused you to. And people start to feel that it's their fault, because they have this imbalance that they inherit. And it's hard to feel like it's not your fault.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%, James. I was so ashamed for so long. And I'm thinking, I'm so glad that I'm of the age that I can just say, hell with it, excuse my French, but, that's just... I didn't ask for this, and it's not anything that I can control. What I can do is manage and educate. So there you go.
Well, it's been good. We're coming up on an hour. Unless you got some closing statements you'd like to make, or you really see you later. Go ahead.
I just appreciate you very much, James, for what you're doing. And I think that the more people that you can educate and that we can educate, the better. There's just wonderful people in this world that need to feel they're safe. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Great. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. See you later. Thanks, James. Bye-bye.